Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. If you'll find that and follow along, let me encourage you to get your outline out and sort of follow that with us as we look at this beginning of the second missionary journey. We preached through the first missionary journey some months back. We looked at the end of chapter 14 when they came back to report to the Antioch church of that first missionary journey. And then in Acts 15, they took a little section there and dealt with the Jerusalem Council when they were dealing with, you know, the Jews wanting to teach that salvation is by grace through faith, plus circumcision, plus a works, and so they dealt with that. Then at the end of that chapter, in verse 15, you have Paul and Barnabas begin the process of that second journey. I think it's interesting as you look at that chapter 15, verse 36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, and he says to Barnabas, let's retrace our steps. Let's go back. Let's go backwards. And all the churches that we planted on that first missionary journey, let's go back and visit those churches. And so you have the situation there, the disagreement that occurred. But anytime you see that phrase, after some days, you'll notice in the introduction that that usually is introducing a transition. And, you know, as a church, just as a mission field, we should always be, and, you know, let's always be transitioning into ministry, and even the ministries that we have, let's always look for opportunities to transition into new areas, and because God is always opening doors, and that's the exciting thing about the book of Acts. You see God opening doors, and I think as believers who are concerned about the gospel, that we ought to be ready to step through those doors. And if God wants to close the door, he'll let you know through the Holy Spirit. We see the leading here, but they have a disagreement. And so you have two missionary teams going off into the ministry as a result of one team. Now, one interesting thing you see here, Barnabas takes John Mark, who was his cousin. And you can understand, the relationship there. Sometimes the blood runs real thick with those who are related, right? And although they have a disagreement, as I've emphasized earlier last week, that they didn't let that interfere. You have two teams. Interesting that you never hear too much about Barnabas the rest of the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. Doesn't mean he wasn't engaged in ministry. It meant that the emphasis now is on Paul and the different people that Paul began to pull into the ministry to help him. You'll notice a central idea concerning the future of our lives. We must always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, that's true individually. In your individual life, you ought to always be open to the Holy Spirit leading you, perhaps into a new ministry or a new opportunity or speaking the gospel to someone that needs to hear or just handing someone a tract. But we need to ask ourselves, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in our lives? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's not going to lead you astray. You say, well, I'm just not sure sometimes. Well, if you're not sure, just wait. Just back up. God doesn't jerk around our emotions. He doesn't play with us. And just wait until you feel sure that God is working. Now, follow along as I begin in chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem, referring to the Jerusalem Council. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul. In the night, a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen this vision, immediately he sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, missions is exciting. That's the exciting thing I find about the book of Acts. And you ought to mark in your Bible as we walk through this, and you ought to make notes on your notes there, and just remind yourself that we're getting information here. This is our guidebook. This is our pattern for which the church ought to operate today. And you see so many things that come out that to help us to understand it. You'll look at the end of chapter 15, the very last section there. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. See, Paul was about starting churches, planting churches, but he was also about discipling those new believers, strengthening the churches. You and I ought to understand that we have a personal responsibility. That's why it's important that you be in church. That's why it's important that you be in the auditorium in church with your Bible open so that you're here. Because we have visitors often, and just about every Sunday we have visitors to church, and visitors look around to see who's engaged, who's in this church, what's going on here. They need to see you and me. They need to see that there are some people in this community that love the Lord. And we come to church each week, and we come here to be strengthened so that we can go out and take the gospel. And that's why it's important that we be here learning and growing together from God's word. You see the same phrase in chapter 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Boy, what does that tell you? They increased daily. That means when we go out and we leave here today, that this week we ought to look for opportunities to share the gospel. Look for opportunities to hand out a tract, to invite someone, to encourage someone. Ask someone if you can pray for them about something. People have there's so many people that are hopeless and helpless, and they need encouragement. And that's why it's important that you and I be a growing Christian so that we might encourage others and that we might. And the way we increase daily is we're out there as missionaries. We're all missionaries. You say, well, I'm not called to be a missionary. You're called to be a disciple. You're called to be a student of the Word of God, haven't you? You're called to grow in the Lord. And sometimes we might not be good missionaries or good disciples or good examples, but we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to open those doors for us. You'll notice at the end of verse 10, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And boy, the gospel's important to us. Just because you're saved, you know the Lord, and maybe you've been saved for a long time, don't ever get over the gospel. Don't ever get over, you know, don't sit in church and don't allow yourself to think, well, you know, I've heard that before, and we've been there before. You know, we should never get over the gospel message. And you should often reflect back to those times when God brought you to salvation and those times when he brought you to commitment and a greater understanding of his word. And, boy, missions is an exciting thing. When we had the Cheesedales here, I mean, it's just exciting to see what God's doing. Can you imagine going into a tribe of people? You have no, in a country that has just hundreds of dialects, And you find this one group of people and you learn their language and you learn to speak and preach and write in their language so that you can share the gospel with them. We saw that in the E-Tal movie. How many of you got to see the E-Tal? And don't be hesitant to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to commit to anything. Baptists are, what'd he say? Raise your hand for what? What'd he ask me to do? No, I just asked if you saw. We'll come back and show the follow-up to that sometime in the near future. It's exciting to see what God continues to do through that group. But missions work is so exciting. I have a niece and her husband who are missionaries in Brazil. They've been there for years. They have, what, 6 or 7 kids? 6, I think. 5 boys, and they had a little girl. And God has really blessed them. They moved into this small city, this town in northern Brazil, and they just started a church. And now they have a new building, and they have a congregation, and they have ministries just like us, and their kids come over to the States. They're home on furlough right now for 4 months. Their oldest son is starting college, and he's called to be a medical missionary. He's going through college, and then he's going to go to med school and go back to Brazil as a medical missionary. Isn't that exciting? But Melissa said, the kids will be home, and boy, after a couple of months, I say, when are we going home? They report to churches, and they try to find new churches. But she shared something exciting the other day. She said, we're home, and this small church down in Atlanta invited us to come down and be with them in a Sunday service. They were having some missionary emphasis and for several days, and so we went down. So it was a small church out in the country. They spent the night with Melissa's brother, who lives down in the Atlanta area, teaches in a private Christian school. And then they went about 40 miles to this church. They said it was out in the country. Said we pulled up in the parking lot. Said half the parking lot was full of trucks. And said most of the congregation, the men especially, were wearing blue jeans and boots. And they said it was just a country church, small church. And they said we shared our ministry. And the pastor got up at the end of the service, and he said, do you have any special needs? And they said, well, we have one great need. They said, we have a vehicle that we've been using in Brazil. Man, we've had the motor replaced twice. We've got over 200,000 miles on it, and we just need a better vehicle. They said, well, let's take an offering. He said, how much do you need for that vehicle? And they said, $18,000. And they took an offering, of $13,000. And they said, we raised $13,000 today. They said, now we're going to have a meeting this afternoon to discuss. Said, we've had 3 missionary families in. We're going to take one of them for support. They had their meeting the afternoon, and Melissa said, the pastor called, and he said, hey, we voted to take you on for monthly support. And by the way, we decided to take another offering in that afternoon meeting, and we raised $7,000 more. So we're going to send you a check for $20,000 to buy that vehicle. And he said most of that money we raised came through in cash. And she was just praising God. Can you imagine that? And boy, what a blessing. That's the way God's work should operate. That's why we should never get tired of special projects. I mean, we're a blessed people, aren't we? Any of you miss any meals last week? I had a few too many, didn't you? Barbara and I often joke, anytime we leave the house to go someplace, she said, you think we ought to take a Larabar or a protein bar or a bag of nuts? We don't want to get caught without food someplace. And so, but what a blessing. And that's what missions is all about, becoming a blessing. And they're just overwhelmed at this little old church that they never knew. But that's the way the Spirit of God works, amen? And they're just so excited. And so they can go back and buy a new vehicle. And just like we took an offering to buy a new canoe for the Cheesedales, I mean, think about every time they go upstream to that tribe, we play a part in that, and that's the way it, and that's what Paul's engaged in. That's why I love this portion of Scripture and these missionary journeys, because you see what God is doing. Now, you'll notice in the first five verses there, and just follow your outline, just simple there, just to remind us of what's going on here. And we see, first of all, the disagreement. You can go back and read those earlier point from last week that we covered. But secondly, we see encouragement to grow. And that ought to be our encouragement in every ministry we have. Youth ministry, seniors ministry, children's ministry, deacons ministry, men's ministry, you know, women, whatever's going on, we ought to pray that we encourage one another to be growing in the Lord spiritually. And as we grow internally, that'll be an opportunity for God to open doors for us to share what's going on. And we'll grow externally. Because people are not looking for people who are serious about spiritual things. They don't want to be involved in a church that's dead. Nothing's going on. Just same old ho-hum. Nobody looks at them. Nobody shakes their hand. Nobody encourages them to come back. They're looking for a church that's got something going on. A church that's about the gospel. A church that's sharing. And so we see that the encouragement there to grow in the Lord. Now, in the first two verses there, you see the introduction to Timothy. And this is one thing we learn from the book of Acts and from the epistles, and this was also true of Paul. Paul was always surrounded with people, men and women, who ministered to him. And he leads people to the Lord, and they just join him on this journey. And we're going to see that open up in chapter 16 as they launch out next week as we start that. And we just see that, you know, the people, and you see Timothy here. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, a young man. Now, Paul and Silas had approached this destination from the east, so they first came to Derbe and then to Lystra, just the reverse of the first missionary journey. And you find the first journey in chapter 14 of Acts, verses 6 through 20. So these preachers, they went from church to church, teaching the people and helping establish the believers in their faith. That's why I often say that whatever we're doing in ministry, let's open the Word of God and help one another to grow. Amen? Because we want to grow spiritually, right? Is everybody listening? Everybody with me? Okay. And you see there that the result was fruit from the witness of these believers. And you see the churches are always increasing. You find that mentioned all through the book of Acts. They increased, they increased, they increased daily, they increased. And you see it here. Now, when you see those first couple of verses there, you see the introduction to Timothy. And this might be the best thing that happened at Lystra was they meet Timothy and they enlist him to replace. And Paul says, you know, John Mark went with his cousin Barnabas because we had a little disagreement. And so, Timothy, why don't you come on and join us and become a disciple, a special assistant? And Timothy was probably converted through Paul's ministry because the apostle, when he first visited Lystra, Timothy probably heard him preach there. Because Paul called him in 1 Corinthians 4:17, he referred to Timothy as my beloved son. Not his blood son, but his son in the faith. And he probably shared the gospel with him. Now, Timothy's mother and grandmother had prepared the way for his decision by being the first in the family to trust Christ. If you get a chance, write this down in your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Go back and look at that later, and you'll see that you know, I'm just going to turn to that now and just share it with you in case you don't feel led to go back and look at that later. Let's look at 2 Timothy just 1:5. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And this is one of the pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus were the pastoral epistles, meaning he wrote to young pastors. And verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Boy, do you see that testimony of a godly mom and a godly grandmom showing them the way to the gospel? You know, one of your major prayers as a Christian ought to be that you see your children saved and you see your grandchildren saved. And we ought to be praying daily, weekly for our children and our grandchildren. Don't ever give up on your kids. You say, well, you just don't know what I'm telling. No, but God does. The Holy Spirit does. And God wants to use you and me to always influence. And so we see Timothy had that background. And so you see the introduction of Timothy. And Timothy's mother and grandmother had prepared the way for his decision. So this young Timothy undoubtedly had witnessed Paul's sufferings in Lystra on that first missionary journey. Now, you'll notice, secondly, that the circumcision of Timothy, and you might think, well, I thought according to the Jerusalem Council that they didn't need to be circumcised, and but because he had a good report from the churches in 1 Timothy 3:7, Timothy was ordained by Paul, and he was called to his missionary team. Timothy became a part of Paul's team. You want to read some exciting stuff in the Word of God, read 1 and 2 Timothy. My morning Bible study, we're going to start to study in Titus next Sunday and go through that paragraph by paragraph. And you see him writing to these young, but in 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul's next step was to have Timothy circumcised. Now, this was an action that seemed to contradict the decision that was made at the Jerusalem Council at that conference. However, there was an important spiritual principle behind Paul's decision. The decision at the Jerusalem Conference was that it was not necessary to be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul did not allow Titus to be circumcised, lest the enemy think that he was promoting their cause, and he addresses this in Galatians 2, 1 through 5. Now, the battle in Jerusalem was over the truth of the gospel. Is the gospel salvation by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing, or was it plus something? Now, you know as well as I do that there are different denominations that say, yeah, you must put your faith in Jesus Christ, receive him as personal Savior, but you must also do this and do that. And so we see here that the truth of the gospel is not over the fitness of a man to serve, but Paul's concern with Timothy was not his salvation, but his fitness for service. Timothy would be working with both Jews and Gentiles in the churches, and it was essential that he not offend them so that they might listen to the gospel. And that was why Paul had Timothy circumcised. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, you'll see him address that. It was not a matter of Timothy's salvation or personal character. It was avoiding the serious problem that Timothy would be a stumbling block as the men sought to serve the Lord, because the first place they went when they went into a city was the synagogue, the Jewish people. And so if he brought Timothy in there uncircumcised, they would be offended and not listening to him. And so he was applying the principle of the Word of God, when to stand and when to yield. And sometimes all of us need to make those decisions in church leadership. When do we stand on a principle? Now, we stand on a principle when it's biblical. Sometimes people want to stand on a principle because that's what they prefer. Have you ever heard that? Sometimes it's preference rather than doctrine. And that's wrong. We should always stand on the fundamentals of the faith. We can't move on those because that's the Word of God. That's God's truth. And so we see the emphasis there. Now, thirdly, you'll notice the solution. You'll notice the ministry of the team in verses 4 and 5. Look at verses 4 and 5, and you see the ministry of the team. As they went their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Let's pray that every time we have a ministry, that we are here for the purpose of strengthening one another in the faith, growing together, so that we'll be encouraged through the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. So in the years that followed in this ministry, Timothy played an important part in the expansion and the ministry of the church because Paul brought him along. And later on, you're going to see that he leaves Timothy in Ephesus to pastor that church. So you see Timothy growing, and he's engaged. And so he wrote the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy. And you'll find through those two books that he warns them of false doctrine and false teachers all through there. Because Paul knows at the time he gets to 2 Timothy 4, Paul's on his deathbed. He's going to be martyred real soon. And so he wants these men to be prepared to stand. And so he teaches them. Timothy became the shepherd. He became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And God used him in a tremendous way in that. Now look at verse 6 with me, and you see your third point there, obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now it's always important that we obey the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to listen to the Word of God. It's one thing to agree with the Word of God. It's one thing to say, boy, I agree with that, and I understand that, but it's another thing to leave here today and say, you know, I'm going to obey that, because that's what the Word of God says. Just as we see in society, you know, our children will be ruly children, disobedient children, if we don't correct them and teach them properly. And it's the same thing spiritually in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's why he teaches us all through Scripture that, you know, if we are disobedient, he's going to spank us, he's going to discipline us. And we should expect that. So we see here that God opens the way, and this is an exciting part. And let me just quickly deal with this. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. And you see in verses 6 and 7, the divine diversion. They're diverted here, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So you see the divine diversion there. After visiting the churches, he found that Paul tried to enter new territory for the Lord by traveling east into Asia Minor and Bethania. But the Lord closed the door. The Lord said, I don't want you to go in that direction. I would encourage you, you know, if you want to dig into this a little deeper, to find a good biblical geography. And Keith mentioned to me some documentaries you can find on these missionary journeys on YouTube. But you'll see that, and try to identify where these countries are now, what countries recognize this. And so we see that the Lord shut the door here. We don't know how God revealed his will to this matter. It says they had a vision, and God often spoke to them through a vision. But we can well imagine that Paul was disappointed and perhaps somewhat discouraged. Everything had been going so smoothly on this second missionary journey. And so these closed doors must have come to a great surprise for him. And sometimes you might feel very strongly about something, but you need to make sure that this is what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And if you're in doubt or you're not sure, boy, just back up and wait. That's true in every decision you're making in life. That's why I ask you the question in the introduction and the central idea. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in your life? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're born again today, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're a Christian, the Bible teaches that once you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. You have all the Holy. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit as a Christian. You already have all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. What you need to pray is that the Holy Spirit will have more of you. And so that's what he's trying to encourage them with here. And so it's comforting to know that even apostles were not always clear as to God's will for their ministries, but God planned for the message to get there. Another time, there's another time when we hit chapter 18 that the message gets to this place. But here's the exciting thing. In God's sovereign grace, you see the divine direction. And God leads them not toward Asia, but he leads them into Europe. And you and I know the gospel today because of that spread of the gospel and the Holy Spirit leading that way. In God's sovereign grace, he led Paul west into Europe, not east into Asia. It is interesting to speculate how world history might have been changed had Paul been sent to Asia instead of onto Europe. At Troas, Paul was called to Macedonia by a man whom he saw in a night vision, and this man said, "Come over and help us." Josh and Melissa, my niece and nephew, and they heard God leading them to a city through the Holy Spirit, "Come and help us in Brazil." The Cheesedales, "Come and help us in Papua New Guinea." You say, well, not all of us can go to those places, but we can support these people who are called to go. And if we're not supporting missionaries to go, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we see the excitement of what's going on here. George MacDonald, he said, "Nothing makes a man strong like a call for help. Nothing makes a man strong like a call for help." Are you listening to the calls for help? You know people as I know people who need to know Jesus. I know people who's right now, people that I'm talking to, whose hearts are open. And sometimes people don't know how much they need help from the Holy Spirit. God knows. You and I know what God has done in our lives. Why do we not want to see this happen in the lives of other people? And so, what George MacDonald said, "Nothing makes a man strong like a call for help." And Paul was quick to respond to the vision. Now notice in verse 10 with me at the very end there. "And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately." Now you know how soon that is, don't you? You understand the word immediately, right? Don't have to know any Greek or Hebrew to, you know, immediately, bang. Holy Spirit led and bang, immediately. Sometimes we just want to hem-haul around. Well, I'm praying about it. And sometimes there's nothing to pray about. We need your help in church. The church always needs. Have you ever seen a Baptist church that didn't have some areas where they need help? And this church is the same. We need help. We got Stafford Night Out, where there's going to be all kinds of organizations down in the parking lot down there at Stafford Marketplace, and we're going to set up a booth, and we're going to set up tables, and we're going to pass out tracts and meet people, and we need help. We need some people to help us haul the stuff down there to set up, and we need people to be there to help us meet people and hand out literature, and we need people to help us. And so we see here, you'll notice that in that last verse, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Now notice a great emphasis there. Let me encourage you to mark this in your notes or in your Bible. You see that phrase, "we sought to go into Macedonia." Now who's writing this book of Acts? Can you help me with that? Who wrote the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit? Who? Paul. Luke. Yeah, you're right. Luke. Now, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit. So notice this is the first time he brings himself into it. Instead of they, he says we. We. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Are you concluding that in your heart? You say, well, I'm not called to preach. You're called to proclaim. And most of the time, the Greek word in the New Testament, the word kerusso, used for preach, it usually means proclaim the word. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, "Preach the word," Paul said to Timothy. The word there, kerusso, proclaim the word of God. We're all proclaimers, amen? You give somebody a tract, you're proclaiming the Word of God. You invite somebody to church, you're proclaiming the Word of God. God had called us to preach, to proclaim the gospel to them. So for Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he joined Paul and his party at Troas. And you see these "we" sections all through his conclusion there. I have several. I've been privileged in my family. Listen, my dad was an alcoholic, and he was saved early in his life, but he just couldn't. He couldn't stay away from the bottle, and he couldn't stay away from. He was a womanizer, but my mom was a godly woman. Boy, she loved the Lord. She was saved at the age of 22. They lived in a coal camp in Grundy, Virginia. My dad was a coal miner, and there was a church, a white church up on the, I visited that church about 3 or 4 years ago and saw that church again. They were having a revival in a Methodist church. That's back when the Methodists really preached the gospel. And my mom got saved in that Methodist revival, 22 years of age. But she wanted to be baptized by immersion, so the Methodists and the Baptists both met in that church. So she wanted to be baptized by immersion, so she joined the Baptist church, so they'd baptize her. And what a great difference that made in how God led in her life. And I remember my mom, from the time I recognized it, she was in church every time the doors were open. She sang in the choir. She loved to sing. She loved it. She always had tracts. When she'd come to Stafford, she'd say, "Give me some of your church tracts so I'll invite people to your church, not mine in Florida." And she was always... See, you never know how you're going to influence. You never know what God wants to do in your life if you'll be faithful. And you see in that portion of Scripture there, you know, in that last verse, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. See that word "concluding"? Do you see that in your Bible? Is that in your translation? How many of you see that word in that last verse, "concluding"? Everybody see that? That's a Greek verb which means to bring together. It means to knit together. And that's what the church is all about. We're a group of people knit together. We've come together to do the work of God. Just quickly, in this portion of Scripture, you see that they all succeeded for Jesus. You see that John Mark got back on track under Barnabas' loving. Don't give up on people. Barnabas didn't. He took Mark with him, and Mark got back on track, and that's one of the great stories we learn from this. We also see from this portion of Scripture that God can use unhappy, perplexing failures to bring a fresh purpose and direction to our lives. Sometimes you say, "Well, boy, I've just experienced a great failure in my life." No, that might be the beginning of something God wants to do. So just back up and pray, "God, help me to learn from this." God will lead us according to His own perfect plan for our lives and ministries. God will always lead us if we'll be obedient. I started off that story about my mom. I was just thinking about how God has blessed my family down through the years. My brother Pat, he would have been an alcoholic just like my dad. Boy, in his early 20s, I tell you, he was drinking like a fish and didn't know how to control it, but he got saved. 6 months after he got saved, God called him to preach. And so we have several family members. Pat has two sons and two daughters. His two sons are pastoring. His two daughters are married to preachers. So they're active in the Lord's work. One of Pat's sons, Mike, my brother Pat pastored Independent Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland for 22 years, and then he stepped down and Mike became pastor, and Mike has pastored there for years, since the 90s. I was talking to Pat the other day, and he said, let me tell you a story. Mike, every year, this time of the year, he and his wife go to New England. They love New England. They love to visit those old libraries up there and read from the old books about Christianity and so much background in those early years of the discovery of our country. He said they were in Boston, and Pat was going to visit a small church out in the country up there, and they asked him if he'd come and preach on a Sunday morning. And so he got up and preached that Sunday morning. The pastor said, now, we have some football players in our community, local community, that have gotten saved. Three of them are going to get baptized today. And he said there are 10 other football players that have come out and watched these men to get baptized. So they baptized those three players, and after the service, the three guys that were baptized were standing around, and the other players were with them, and Mike just walked up and introduced himself to him, says, good, really appreciate you guys coming out to support your teammates, and that's a great thing. And he said, one of those players spoke up, and he said, Pastor Mike, he said, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord, but the rest of these guys, they don't, except for the three that got baptized. And Mike says, that's so. And he said, what about it, you guys? You don't know the Lord? Would you like to know the Lord? And all of them said, yes. And so he opened his Bible, and they all got saved right there. The whole 10, so there was 13 players from that team who gave their life to the Lord. And Mike said afterward, he prayed with them, and one of them spoke up and said, we don't know much about the Bible, know anything about churches, or somebody that can help us. And the pastor stepped up, and he said, yeah, I can. He said, why don't you guys come to my house once a week? I'll have some refreshments, and we'll study the Word together. So they set up a Bible study. Isn't that what Paul was doing here? I mean, God's still performing miracles. People are still getting saved. If we'll be obedient and step through open doors, amen? Let's be that kind of church. Let's ask God, would you bow your head right now and pray with me? And as we conclude in prayer, would you just pray right now and just say, God, I'm a Christian, and I know the Lord, and I just want to ask you to help me to be obedient so that you might use me. Lord, would you use me to take advantage of any open doors? Just ask God to open doors for you. We spent the summer talking about who's my one. Who's your one? Who's your two or three? Are you still praying for him? Let's pray that God will help us to be a church that'll be obedient to sharing the gospel and learn from what Paul has shared with us here. Let's all stand for prayer. I'm going to close for us in prayer, and then Valerie's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn, and we'll be dismissed. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Jesus Christ, I'm not sure I've really been born again or I understand it, but I'm open to it. And listen, I'm not the kind of person, I'm not going to cram things down your throat, and I'm not going to cram the Bible, but if you want to know anything about the Bible, I'd be glad to sit down with you and just tell you what the Word says. So let me encourage you, if you're not sure about your own salvation, be open to that, and let me help you with it. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the missionary journeys that Paul was led to participate in. We thank you for others who came on the team to help. And we just thank you for open doors. We thank you for open doors at Rock Hill Baptist Church. And we come to you this morning asking that you help us to be ready to walk through those open doors and to be used in ministry and to take advantage of opportunities. Lord, help us to come to church each week that we might grow spiritually and be strengthened and encouraged so that we might go out and be a missionary to proclaim the gospel in this community. We thank you for this time together today. We ask it in Jesus' name, in whose name we pray. Amen.